live from the Auction Community Studios. It's the Burns and Gambo Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday afternoon, the NBA Draft. 2 days, 48 hours, less than 48 hours away. We will know. Starts at 4 o'clock. We'll confirm what we already know, what we already suspect. In fact, as we've been mentioning a couple of times today, DeAndre Ayton had an appearance today at a Verizon store somewhere in Midtown Manhattan. Some guy took a picture from it. He had a Phoenix Suns jersey with the number 13 on it, autographed by DeAndre Ayton. Now, the kid probably had it made up himself, right?
Sure.
I doubt he just walked into the NBA store and bought it. But at this point, I just saw SportsCenter. They're promoting a one-on-one with DeAndre Ayton on SportsCenter later tonight. He is the presumed number one pick. You've been saying it for weeks now, basically since the draft lottery. The question that we need to talk about here a little bit is really kind of take a deep dive into the comments that we're all very excited about. Here's DeAndre Ayton from March 30th on CBS Sports Radio.
Where do you want to go? Where would you love to play?
Honestly, for my mother, I can see myself in Phoenix.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. Actually.
Yeah, for my
Devin
mother.
Booker opened a little space for you, too, inside.
Yeah, I can see a little Shaq and Kobe 2.0. Yeah.
And then when you were gone in Italy and he was in for his workout, he doubled down on it.
Oh, like I said from the beginning, that's Shaq and Kobe 2.0. You know, that's big. You know, we could really make something happen in Phoenix. We could really have a spark and, you know, have a winning legacy here. Start a winning legacy.
Shaq and Kobe 2.0. What do you think about that?
I think the sky's the limit for the two of them. I do. I think they both have the ability to be, you know, top 20 players in the league. Booker's a great player. He's not, like I said, I've always said he's not a top five, not a top 10, but you need stars to win in this league. You need stars to win. Great, great players. And that would be, you know, and I still really believe in Josh Jackson. So don't get me wrong. I really believe Josh Jackson is going to be a hell of a basketball player. And he's just talking about him and Devin. But you put DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Josh Jackson together for a number of years, you know, and you let them go through growing pains and figure this stuff out, you could have something very special.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Devin's not comparable to Kobe Bryant, though. I mean, he's not. And, you know, Ayton could be one of the great centers in the league. Could be the best center in the league. Could be.
Why couldn't Devin turn into Kobe Bryant one of these days? I mean, he's not there now. I agree with you. He's clearly not there now. But, I mean, being that he's only played in the league for 3 years.
Kobe's arguably one of the five best players in the history of the game.
I totally agree with that. But Booker is on still an upward trajectory in terms of how he plays. I mean, I don't think it's likely that he becomes the next Kobe Bryant, but I don't think it's impossible either. It's unlikely because of how good Kobe is. I'll give you that. But they've got a similar type skill set. The ability to shoot, the ability to take it to the bucket, to be able to score in multitudes of ways. I mean, it's not – and that's, I guess, the thing. That's the whole reason why –
Kobe was a great, great defensive player.
Booker's got to get a lot better at that.
Booker doesn't play defense.
Got to get a lot better at that.
Kobe could guard anybody.
Yep.
Kobe was a great, great defensive player. And that's, you know, a lot of the great players in the game are two-way players. And that's Booker's not a two-way player right now. He's a good scorer.
No, really good scorer. And right now he's nowhere near. And I'm not suggesting that right now he's anywhere near. I'm just saying that based off of what we thought of Devin Booker when he came into this league and where he is now, right? So think about that 3-year growth period, okay? Who's to say what Devin Booker is 4 years from now? You know?
Sure.
Because we didn't, I mean, when he came into this league.
Just strive to get better.
Sure. When he came into this league, we thought, yeah, maybe the Suns got themselves their Klay Thompson. Maybe their outside sniper, their outside shooter. And we quickly learned that Devin Booker can be a whole lot more than that. So I don't know where he's going to be.
I liked what he did last year when they gave him the opportunity to, and Jay Trounder gave him the opportunity to handle the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you need the ball in your hands so you can create your own shots and make stuff happen. So that's good. Kobe always had the ball in his hands. So, you know, for him to be like that, he's got to have the ball in his hands a little bit more, and he's got to get a hell of a lot better defensively. He's got to get to the free throw line more. So it's not about just shooting shots. He's got to drive and get to the line, get people in foul trouble. I mean, that's just saying that's a tough ask. But I just think the two of them together, and then you throw in Josh Jackson, it could be something really special.
So, but you don't. So that if you don't think that, if you don't think that Devin could be as good as Kobe,
no, I don't.
Then you don't think that we're looking at Shaq Kobe 2.0.
I think you look at a different version. You don't have to call it Shaq Kobe. You could call it something else.
Okay.
I mean, Ayton. I think Ayton's got the ability to be one of the great centers in the game. I do. I think he has the ability to be. But listen, I mean, just because Booker's not Kobe Bryant doesn't mean that they can't have like this unbelievable
combo of two, three players. I'm making a literal comparison, and there's probably not a literal comparison to make. I do think that, and I appreciate DeAndre Ayton's confidence that is setting the bar awfully high to think that that's what they I hope
but that's what he knows.
I hope
those guys know. They know Shaq and Kobe.
Sure. No, I understand that.
Nobody's saying we're gonna be Tim Duncan, Tony Parker 2.0. Nobody says that.
I understand. It's just you talk about it being a tough ask. It's a big sell, right? That's a big sell to think that 48 hours from now the Suns will have their version of Shaq Kobe 2.0. I don't know if it's gonna be that good. I hope it's going to be that good, but I'm not expecting it to be that good.
But it could be really good. How about it should be good?
But I don't think it's realistic to expect or demand that it be that good, because that's setting the bar way high.
Right.
Way high.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Michael Porter telling everybody, yeah, I'm like a combination of Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Okay. You know, no, I'm serious.
I know.
It's kind of the same thing. Hey, we're Shaq Kobe 2.0. Okay.
Right.
Let's see. You know, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. But it's the kind of thing the kids coming into the league say. I saw more video of Marvin Bagley today, and he's like, oh, yeah, you should take me number one over DeAndre Ayton. Absolutely, you should. I mean, the level of confidence and cockiness and
comes up from the AAU. These kids,
sure.
And you want these kids to be somewhat cocky. I mean, we've talked about this. You don't want the kids saying, I'm probably like the 12th best player in this draft.
You don't want these kids
to believe that they're great and these teams should take them. You kind of want that. You know, that drives athletes a lot of times, the ability to believe you're great and want to be great. You got to want to be great.
Now, join 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, at the Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party this Thursday,
we'll
starting at 4 o'clock. We will. Live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP so you can watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick. We know what's happening at number one. At 16. I got some rumors, speculation, talk. You'll hear it next here on the Burns and Gambo Show. About an hour ago, we were going through some draft rumors, various media sources and things like this. This guy's reporting that guy's reporting this, so on and so forth. And there was one I mentioned that caught Gambo's ear a little bit because it involves a player that has really been connected to the Phoenix Suns at number 16.
Zaire Smith.
Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer is reporting that the Sixers are bringing Kentucky's Kevin Knox and Texas Tech's Zaire Smith back for second workouts. Now that doesn't guarantee the Philly's going to take one of those players, but it certainly indicates their level of interest. I mean, the Suns, I believe, brought only one back for two workouts, and I think that was Aaron Holiday, the point guard out of UCLA.
You know,
I think he was the only one who had a second workout.
This is interesting. One of the NBIA guys that I spoke with today mentioned Philly as a possible team that could move down.
Really?
So follow me here, just because I don't think there's a lot of teams, you know, I've heard Memphis could move down, Atlanta could move down. And then Philly could move down. So Philly really likes Zaire Smith, okay? Mm-hmm. They really like Zaire Smith. They're like, man, nobody's, you know, we could get him. We trade with the Clippers, or we trade with somebody, and we drop a few spots. We could probably still get Zaire Smith and pick up something else. The Philly maybe wants to wheel and deal a little bit. So that could be, that's interesting, because I was told today, Phil, you know, looking for teams that could move.
Are you suggesting the Suns could move up to Philly's spot and Philly could move down?
No, I'm saying that Philly might be able to move, you know, teams that want to move, they might be able to get Zaire Smith later.
Yeah.
If they, I mean, I've never seen Zaire Smith in the top 10, have you?
In the top 10, no. In the top 13 or 14, yeah. Not a lot, but a little.
Right, his name pops up.
Not top 10. No, I've never seen him in the top 10. If you look at our mock draft tracker at arizonasports.com, and I always like them, it just consolidates everything, right? Let's see. Our Arizona Sports mock draft from Kellen Olson, Zaire Smith going to the Suns at 16. SI.com, Zaire Smith, Suns, 16. ESPN, Zaire Smith, Suns at 16. There are, look, I don't want to overgeneralize. There's also a lot of Troy Browns in there. There's a lot of Khyree Thomas, shooting guard out of Creighton. That's a name you haven't mentioned much, so I can't imagine he's really on the radar. But for the most part, Zaire Smith is one of the most common names at 16. Here's another name that is very common at 16 in a lot of these mock drafts. Lonnie Walker out of Miami.
Love him. I don't know if he's going to be there, but I love him. There's a lot of debate. I've talked to people that say he's going to be there, and people say he's not going to be there. 6'5", could really shoot the ball well. Strong possibility. Like, if he's there, he could absolutely be their pick. I could see that. Nice to get more shooters on the court. You know, you're going to have the big guy and you're going to have Booker, but you want other shooters. You want to be able to spread the floor, and, you know, and that just makes it so much easier for a passer to, you know, to kick it out and find the open guy and move the ball around. Because there's going to be a lot of ball movement in this offense with Igor. There's going to be a lot of ball movement. So you want that. You want those shooters to be able to get open and knock down those shots. So Walker would be, as far as shooters are concerned, he's the best guy for that.
I'll be honest with you. That's kind of what makes me nervous about Zaire Smith at 16.
Is that he doesn't shoot the ball well.
And I agree with you. I think if there's – it doesn't have to be a point guard, okay? I don't really care if they take a point guard at 16. It'd be nice, but I'm kind of interested to see how Brandon Knight does. I know the guy they take at 16 has to do one of two things really well, and preferably he does both of them really well.
One is
shoot, and the other is defend.
Yeah.
In the NBA, they call them 3-and-D guys. The Suns badly need a 3-and-D guy out of this draft. And if you can find one at 16, great. Problem with Zaire Smith is he doesn't shoot. And he has to be taught how to shoot.
Gets overlooked. But Golden State, Boston, Houston, these teams are having a lot of success because they've got a lot of two-way players. You know, they got a lot of guys that can play offense and defense. They could score, but then they also defend. And that's, I mean, Golden State's got a bunch of those guys. Houston has a ton of those guys. Boston, those teams all have good two-way players. So you want guys that can play both ends, you know, can score a little bit, and then defend. Now, Ayton's going to give you rebounding right off the bat. I mean, a guy's going to be a double-double machine. He'll score, and he'll give you rebounding. But if you get a player at 16, whether it's a wing guy or a perimeter guy, you're going to get somebody that's either going to be a guard or a wing, you want that guy to be able to defend.
Yeah, I mean, it's – or to be able to shoot because they don't have enough shooting. Devin Booker's a great shooter. They don't have enough – trustworthy guys to hit three-pointers, to spread the floor, to open things up. So
Walker's your best fit there, then.
So for
out of the
shooter,
guys that I've mentioned, Walker is.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo wouldn't be bad either. I think he's a little bit lower on my list, but DiVincenzo can shoot. Walker can shoot. Brown.
The thing about DiVincenzo that I find interesting, okay, is that in terms of combinations of guys who can shoot and defend, I wonder if he's the best blend of the two. He might not be the best at any one over. Like, Lonnie Walker might be a better shooter than Dante DiVincenzo, but DiVincenzo might be a better defender, might be the better overall player. Zaire Smith might be a better athlete than Dante DiVincenzo, but he can't shoot like DiVincenzo. So to me, that's why I'm intrigued with DiVincenzo. A lot of the guys that we're talking about at 16 have holes in their game, big, big holes. And not that DiVincenzo is perfect, but he offers enough of a blend between the three-point shooting and the defense that even though you've described him as kind of stubby, I still...
Short arms,
yeah,
short hands.
I still think stubby, he has the potential to be a nicer blend of 3-and-D guys than some of the other guys that we're talking about at number 16. Ideally, I'd like to have them move up. I mean, that's the perfect scenario, right?
Sure. I agree. I'd rather have them move up, too.
I just don't know where. And as you've said... In looking at the draft, and I trust me, folks, he's been on the phone all day long. In the people that you're talking to, it's kind of hard to find the teams that are going to be moving down. You mentioned Philly a second ago as a team that might be looking to move out and move down a little bit, but it's kind of hard to find that team.
It is, and that's what I'm trying to find because I know the Suns would like to move up, but Toronto wants to move up. There's a lot of teams that want to move up. And that's the whole thing. I mean, can you find somebody, you know, that's if you stay at 16, don't get your hopes up that you're going to get this great player. Like DiVincenzo's not a starter in this league. He's a seventh or eighth guy off the bench, you know. So, short arms, small hands. When I say stubby, that's, you know, that's what he's considered. You know, Brown shoots 75% from the line, but he was not a good shooter in college. But he has, you know, the ability to shoot. But he's 6'7", and he's long, and he passes, and he dribbles. Zaire's a project, but he's such a freak that if he learns to shoot it, he's got star potential. I mean, the best guy for what you're looking for is probably the Miami kid, I would think, based on, you know, if you want somebody that could shoot and defend a little bit. I mean, you get that with him right now. Right now you get that.
Ryan McDonough was asked about a week ago about trading up.
Start with 16. We have to use 16 plus some other things, you know, maybe the 31st pick. We have current salary cap space, one of the few teams that has salary cap space today where we could absorb a contract, you know, and then the $6.5 million range or less. And then we have, you know, all the future picks, all of our own, the Milwaukee pick, the Miami pick, you know. So, yeah, we have the ability to do that.
Yeah, you can move up. It's just how many of those future assets are you willing to give up? If you're willing to give up Miami 2021, you can move up if you want.
Well, I said yesterday, though, but to move up to get Trae Young, to move up to get Michael Porter, yeah. But, like, if those guys, you know, are they going to move up for Bridges?
Colin Sexton?
I don't know. I don't think that they do. I'm not so sure that they do. Give up a lot of future assets. But, listen, they could be selling it, too. You know, we don't want to, you know, because we don't want to give up that pick, and we don't want to give up that. We value that, you know, that Miami makes. He makes sure he says it's unprotected, that unprotected Miami pick.
Yeah.
So you know, you want teams that pick's completely unprotected. That could be the number one pick in the draft, man. You just don't know.
This year's NBA draft is being praised for how deep and talented it is, but if you look at history and just recent comments by draft commentators, it might not be as great as everybody says. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. You missed it earlier. Our poll question, one of our poll questions today on the Burns and Gambo Show was, in a word, how do you feel about this draft coming up in a couple of days? And the two choices were either excited or nervous. Those are your only two options. A quarter of our audience said they were nervous about it.
I don't know why.
And you're like, don't worry, be happy.
Don't
you,
worry,
you went
be
Bobby
happy.
McFerrin on us. Don't worry, be happy. Everything's going to be fine. I think I know why. There's a very real chance that the Suns do exactly what they're supposed to do and draft DeAndre Ayton. And he's just not that good.
I don't know that you're nervous about that yet. Isn't that like step two?
Well, that's...
Step one is getting the guy that you want to get.
Okay, that's... but step one's done. They're going to get the guy they want to get. Step one, you've been telling us it's been done for a month.
Yes.
Step one, okay, they're going to... DeAndre Ayton was in Midtown Manhattan today autographing Phoenix Suns jerseys bearing his name and we presume his number. It's done. It's going to be DeAndre Ayton in 48 hours. So step two is, okay, how do we know for sure that DeAndre Ayton isn't going to go down the path of so many before him? Guys who appeared to have can't-miss type stuff, but who missed?
Well, the second that Kevin Durant drives the lane and ends up on his ass. All right.
I mean, look.
The second Kevin Durant drives the lane and DeAndre Ayton, all 265 pounds of him, makes him eat the ground.
Look, I read a story this morning on USA Today. It was headlined this. Even with long odds of success, NBA draft hype always draws us in. And the guy who wrote it basically went back just a few drafts. All right. Here's what Jay Billis said about Anthony Bennett. Quote, is absolutely a stretch four that can score from day one in the NBA. Close quote. Here's what Bill Simmons said about number four pick Cody Zeller. Quote, got picked apart too much by scouts. Number seven pick Ben McLemore. Billis, quote, the guy who from a talent perspective is most likely in my judgment to be an all-star out of this NBA draft class.
I know, but what do you like?
The next year, Jalen Rose waving pom-poms for Nick Stauskas at number eight. Adrian Payne, a brilliant pick by Atlanta at number 15. A classic stretch four, they all said. Now, those guys...
I know they failed, but I could say the same to you. Okay, let's go DeAndre Ayton. Think he'll be a good player?
I think he'll be a good player.
Marvin Bagley.
Pretty sure he'll
Trey
be a good
Young.
Player. I know what you're doing.
Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic. Mohamed Bamba.
But they're not all going to be great.
Michael Porter. I know, but you think they are.
But they're not all going to be great.
I know, but we all think that they're going to be good. We all think they're going to be good. You know why? Because they were great. They were the best players on their teams in college or in Europe, right? They were the best players. They were dominant players in college.
But that's not.
We have not seen these guys suck. We've seen them all be good. So to sit there and say, do you think Michael Porter's going to be good? Although we didn't see him in college very much. But, do you think Colin Sexton's going to be good? Yeah. Do you think Mohamed Bamba's? Yes. Jaren, yes. Trey, yeah, Mark, yeah, yes.
But that's not enough of a reason to not be nervous about it.
But that's
it.
What I'm saying. It's hard to, like, when's the last time you had a guy? Yeah, that pick that they're making at number two, Marvin Bagley, he's going to suck. Oh, my God.
Not very often.
I don't know what they saw in that guy at Duke. I mean, he wasn't that good. Like, you can pick apart pieces of their game, but overall, it's hard not to like the player.
Sure.
It is hard not to like a player.
But it's the history of the event. It's the nature of the event and just the NBA draft in general that makes me nervous.
Yes.
It's not DeAndre Ayton doesn't make me nervous, okay? And if I were a Sacramento Kings fan, Marvin Bagley wouldn't make me nervous. The NBA draft makes me nervous. It is such a crapshoot. It is such an unknown. I mean, we've been talking about this for a month. The last time, I think, if I remember the story right, the last time a number one and a number two pick both enjoyed all NBA status. You got to go back to Shaquille O'Neal and Alonzo Mourning.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a long time.
The lesson being,
yes.
It's very rare that they're both good.
I have this from an NBA team. Okay. This is, I can never say where I got this from because people get in a lot of trouble. Approximate probability of selecting a productive player at each draft position. Okay. This is tons and tons of research.
Whoa, my God. This is so many numbers for you.
I don't even know
how you read this.
The approximate probability of selecting a productive player at each draft position.
Okay.
Okay? From one all the way down to, like, it's like 31%.
Uh-huh.
Okay? A productive player. Okay? Now, I'll get you the definition of productive player and stuff, but the probability of selecting a productive player at each draft position, number one all the way through. So at number one, the Suns have a 72% chance of drafting a productive player, which means they have a 28% chance of not drafting a productive player. Now, this is...
That's next level math right there, folks.
This is, and this is not anything that you will ever see anywhere out in the public, okay? This is straight shooting information from a team. At 16, the chances of getting a productive player at 16 is 26%.
It's 1 in 4.
The chance of getting a not productive player is 74%.
Yep.
Now, let's go to 31. The chances of getting a productive player at number 31 in the draft is 9%.
Sure.
There's a 9% chance you'll get a productive player at 31. I don't even want to go to 59.
Probably doesn't even...
1% chance that you can end up with a 1%.
Yep.
One. So even at number one overall, the chances of that player being productive in the NBA is only 72%.
Sure. That's what's to be nervous about.
Right. There's a 28% chance that player's not productive.
So that's what there is to worry about right there. I worry about the 28%.
Yes. Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
The 28% makes me nervous because we have seen throughout this league and throughout its history that sometimes even at number one, because here's the thing. Look, the night that the Suns got the number one pick in the draft and won the draft lottery, we celebrated. You were yelling, "I told you so. I told you they were going to get number one." I stood up and yelled, "Yes, yes, yes,
yes."
Right. Okay. We were all, cause we felt like the Suns had gained something significant that night. In the weeks to follow, what we've come to understand is that number one in the NBA doesn't guarantee you much of anything at all. I mean, you're guaranteed to have the first pick. You're guaranteed to have the first choice, so you don't have to worry about waiting to see what everybody else does. DeAndre Ayton, I think he's going to be a really good NBA player. I wouldn't bet my house on it,
right,
based off of that 28%. That's what makes me nervous
about
this.
Look at the drop, though. Look at how quickly you go from 72% to less than 50%.
Yeah, it's 8.
Less than 50% chance once you get to 8.
72% at 1, 69, 65, 62, 59, 55, 52
and
at
now,
number seven.
And next year, under 50%.
49%.
There is a you're under 50% at pick number eight.
Yep. You're under 40% by pick number 11.
Right.
You're under 30% by pick number 15. Yeah.
This is, you know, this is high end, like, you know,
yeah.
analytics.
And I'm not
NBA.
Look, I'm not blaming Billis or Simmons or Jalen Rose. And certainly two nights from now, when all of these guys are doing the NBA draft, they're going to say glowing things about the players, of course. I totally get that. It's just that that's the part that concerns. I mean, look, even this morning, yesterday, Jay Billis. Nobody knows how these prospects are going to be in the NBA.
We see this year after year where players that are drafted further down the draft become the best players in the draft. You just don't know. Mm. And I don't know where it came in basketball somehow that we think we know. And we have beliefs, and everybody does their homework, and you know, we all have different opinions on players, but you know, I don't have this sort of belief in my head that we know. We don't. Boy. And anybody that thinks they know, they're fooling themselves and perhaps everybody else.
That's the number one college basketball analyst at ESPN. I don't know. Anybody who tells you they know, they don't know.
No,
it's the number one guy right
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard. There's not a player that's getting picked in the top 10 that they didn't look at in college and say, oh my God, he's so good. I really like that guy. That guy's a really good player. It doesn't mean that it all of a sudden when they get to the NBA they're able to play at that level.
If
it doesn't.
Think about it. The last guy that we really knew for sure was LeBron, right?
Yes.
He was the last guy for which there was no reason to be nervous, no reason to be concerned, no reason to worry that he was going to bust out or flame out like previous number one picks had. I was never worried about LeBron James. All the other guys, I mean, even the guys who worked out at number one, even the guys who were good picks at number one, there was reason to doubt.
But it was a lot easier back in the 80s when these guys were playing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when these guys were playing 3-4 years and then coming out, it was a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
To identify them and know that they were going to be good.
Join 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party on Thursday, starting at 4 o'clock live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Got a RSVP on that website as well at arizonasports.com.
RSVP?
So you got an RSVP.
So I got to wear a black tie or anything?
Oh, no. You just got to let them know you're coming.
Okay.
I think. You just got to let them know you're going to be there so you can watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick. If you do wear a black tie, though, that'd be nice. Dress it up a little bit for Thursday's draft
Black tie
show.
Event.
Sure, absolutely. It's already been known the Diamondbacks are interested, so much so that they're keeping that phone line open. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. You saying something? So, oh,
did you not have me on? Everything was on.
I didn't have it on in here, but I turned it on like 2 seconds.
It was on. Everything showed that it was on. I didn't touch anything.
You were over there talking, and I'm like, does he know his microphone's not on? Because I know his microphone's not on.
You're still clinging to a 52-48 lead.
Oh, in the
who would you rather go to Vegas with?
Yeah, it all started with Doug and Wolf this morning.
Yes.
It was a poll question from their show. And, man, I stared at the computer screen for 5 minutes when I saw that poll question. I'm like, I really don't know who I'd rather go to Vegas with between Doug and Wolf. Bick and Murata, it's easy. It's Bickley.
Right.
I don't know if Vince would be a whole lot of fun in Vegas. Whereas Bick, I think actually Bick would be a blast in Vegas. I think that'd be a wild ride. To hang out with Dan Bickley in Vegas. Yeah, I do.
Bickley in Vegas.
Yeah, I think that's right in his wheelhouse. Vince, not so much. So we've had this running poll question all day. Who'd you rather go to Vegas with? Burns and Gambo. Bickley or Murata? Doug or Wolf? So I'm up 52-48 still. I'm holding strong.
You're up.
Okay.
Maybe we should just send the three of you that won to Vegas. You, Wolf, and Bickley.
That would be interesting.
Yeah,
that'd be an interesting.
Go, yeah.
That'd be an interesting Wolf pack in Vegas. There's no doubt about that. According to John Morosi, verified Twitter account, MLB, MLB Network, Fox Sports. According to sources, the Diamondbacks and Orioles have been in contact about a possible Manny Machado trade this season. Dialogue remains open between the clubs. This is viewed as due diligence on Arizona's part as the team's needs become clear. Okay, that last part is a little vague to me. I don't know why he needs to explain Arizona's due diligence. I get that. So John Morosi, basically in a tweet, is saying, okay, Diamondbacks and Orioles have talked about Manny Machado. They continue to talk and have dialogue about Manny Machado, and we'll just see where it happens based off of Arizona's need. I'm trying to figure out why this is news today, why he released this today. Is Baltimore not getting the kind of offers they want for Manny Machado, and they leak this out to John Morosi to try to screw up the market a little bit?
I'll make a call tonight. I'll find out for you.
Okay.
I'll make a call and find out for sure if they're like if there's been some discussions like you know recently.
Yeah.
And we could follow this back up tomorrow, but I will find out.
Because that's my suspicion is that look, they've had conversations, right?
It was reported
in the offseason they had conversations, and I have no doubt, none whatsoever, that the Arizona Diamondbacks have at some point this year checked in to see what the Orioles are doing with Manny Machado
and whether
a deal can be made.
Of course, you know, when you make it out of a discussion, okay, you know, you talk to a team, okay, we're not going to do anything right now. All right, keep me in mind. I mean, when you get closer to the trade deadline, let's touch base again, okay?
Sure.
You know, and that's it. You're getting closer to the trade deadline, you touch base again.
But nothing's imminent. It doesn't sound like anything's imminent, and I don't know when the last time the Diamondbacks and the Orioles actually had a conversation about Manny Machado, so I just wonder, like we talked earlier, you were on vacation a couple weeks ago, there was a big story from Ken Rosenthal about the marketplace for Manny Machado. Rosenthal thought that the Orioles are going to get like an Aroldis Chapman type deal. And he had a couple executives around baseball say, no, they're not. They're not going to get an Aroldis Chapman type deal because as you saw last year with J.D. Martinez and Yu Darvish, rental players, you didn't get anything for him. You didn't get anything for him at all. And Manny Machado is still just a rental player. So I wonder if the Orioles are not liking the offers they're getting for Machado so far. So they kind of leak this out there as if to say, hey, don't forget, we're talking with the Diamondbacks, just in case you want to give us a call. You know, we're having continued dialogue with the Diamondbacks.
I think closers get more. Just because if you don't have a closer, like, you're not going to win. Like, if you don't have a closer, you got a bad closer, you're in trouble. Everyday players, it's like, okay. But look, here's the reality. Go look at what Diamondback shortstops and third basemen are hitting this year. It's nothing.
Oh, no.
It's nothing. I mean, I gave you the numbers earlier. I'm going to see if I can find them again. But, I mean, third base is worse. Third base is worse than shortstop. The production that they're getting out of these positions is nothing. It's just they're not getting anything out of them.
Now, I'm not trying to say that the Diamondbacks aren't interested in Machado and talking with the Orioles. I'm sure they are. I just don't know how robust the market is going to be for him. And so maybe this is out there today because the Orioles are trying to stir up the marketplace a little bit and remind everybody that the Diamondbacks are in pursuit. Now, I'll tell you right now, if the Diamondbacks went and got Machado, I'd love it as long as they were sure, and they would have to be sure that the prospect that they're giving up isn't going to come back to haunt them. You know, like their number one prospect in the system is John Duplantier, the right-handed pitcher. Okay, if they're sure that Duplantier is not going to amount to much as a major league pitcher, trade him. I have no problem with trading him for Manny Machado.
Sure.
But if you think John Duplantier
is going to be an ace,
you can't. You can't.
I would agree with that.
You'd like to, but you can't.
Not if you think he's going to be a number one or number two pitcher. If you project him as a three, then you trade him. Here's the numbers. Diamondback shortstops have hit .235 this year. Their third baseman have hit .214. Diamondback shortstops are hitting .235, the third baseman hitting .214. Manny Machado could play either one of those positions, and he's an all-star.
Sure.
He is one of the three best players in baseball.
And by getting him, you're announcing to the world, we're going for a World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going for a World Series.
Yep, we're going for it.
Hell or high water, we're going for it. And that in and of itself would be pretty cool.
Give him four at-bats every day from now until the end of the season.
Put him in the same lineup with Paul Goldschmidt, who's found himself, A.J. Pollock when he comes back.
Sure.
Throw Steven Souza in there for good measure.
Heck, they might be the favorites in the NL if they get Machado.
They might be. Time for our Suns Insider Report here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Insider Update.
I'm sure we'll get more information about this. I know Gambo is going to be working the phones all night, all day tomorrow as well. But Zaire Smith, the guard out of Texas Tech, had a workout
with the Philadelphia 76ers, it was the second workout Zaire Smith had with the Philadelphia 76ers. So they invited him back for a second look.
Wow. I do not see him going that early, but I did hear today Philly could be looking to move down. If somebody makes a trade to move up, maybe they're saying, okay, we can move down a couple spots, get Zaire Smith, who we love, and pick up an extra asset.
Yeah.
That could be possible, too.
The Sixers are picking number 10 overall. Zaire Smith does seem a little high for that spot. Not a lot, but a little high for that spot. So maybe they're thinking they could get him if they move down, or maybe they think, man, the guy is such a freak athlete player that we have to get him, and hopefully we can teach him how to shoot.
Well, that'd be a little bit higher than it. But again, don't go by the mocks. The mocks will have him going later. Don't go by the mocks. I mean, if they like him there, they'll take him. You know, the Suns like him. They had him in for a workout. I think there might be other players that like more than him, but he's definitely under consideration if he's there at 16.
Yeah.
For Phoenix.
The name that I cannot get out of my head for the Suns at 16 is Jalen Brunson. I can't get that name out of my head. If they stay there, for some reason I am fixated on Jalen Brunson and whether it's going to be him or not.
I think if Walker is there, Walker's the pick at 16. If Walker's there. If he's there. And yeah. I'm not so sure he's going to be there.
Time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening. Game two of the two-game series between the D-backs and the Angels. Matt Cook on the hill getting the start. And by the way, if you missed it, Robbie Ray today for the Reno Aces in his second rehab start. 4 1/3, 9 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 earned run.
He's back.
He's going to be. And we asked Torrey Lovello earlier today how many more rehab starts for Shelby Miller. He hemmed and he hawed, man. He did not want to answer that question at all. He's going to rip real close, too. Real close.
Because they've got tough decisions to make.
We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, too, on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.